parsha is Parshas Vayigash. Vayigash elav Yehuda. And Yehuda went before Yosef. The Lashon Vayigash I'm going to speak about. We see the Lashon of Vayigash is the Lashon of connection. We'll see soon in the parsha. Vayomer bi Adoni. So speaking in front of Yosef, and Yidabena Avdecha, your servant will speak. Daveh be'ozni Adoni, a word in the ears of my master. He's giving Yosef Kvod Malchus. Va'al yecher apecha ba'avdecha, and you shouldn't be annoyed with your servant, ki kamocha kaparo, you're like Paro. So Rashi goes into here, what he means like Paro, you're like a melech, that's a simple pshat, or just as Paro got saras for keeping Sarah, so you'll get saras for keeping Binyamin. Or you're like Paro, that kamocha kaparo, just Paro I can destroy, I'll destroy also you. See, Yehuda, lechora, right, is coming into Yosef with like bakasha, war, right? And like threatening that spiritually he's gonna get it. Now, why is Yosef doing all of this? So, really what's happening in this parasha is very, very strange. We see that Yosef, from last week's parasha already, set up that the gevir would be of Yosef, would be left, was purposely put in the sack of Binyamin. I think there's a Reb Nachman there. The Reb Nachman says Gvir is Gimel Beis Yud Ayin, is Yud Gimel Av. Av is one of the Shemus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Yud Gimel Av is a representation, so to speak, of the highest Shem of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the Yud Gimel Midas being expressed in the Shem Havaya, which is Av. And Reb Nachman, I think, explains that here it was a tremendous Saras to Klal Yisrael. Here, for the brothers, Binyamin was going to be taken as a slave. And not only was Yosef lost, Binyamin was going to be lost. Now comes Yehuda to defend Binyamin. And Yosef sets it all up. He's coming. He's defending him. He's saying, replace Binyamin with me. I'm better than him. For Milchama, to be useful. Right? I'm a gibor. Take me instead of Binyamin. And he's refusing. And he says, look, if you don't give him back, I'm going to destroy. He came to fight. And then Yosef, you know, is asking, why are you more than the other brothers? And he explains that he's an Arev. He's willing to give up this world and the world to come for saving Binyamin. An Arev is a guarantor. Yehuda sets this all, Yosef sets this all up, that Yehuda now is in the same place he was with Yosef. Yehuda was the one who put Yosef in the bore. Yehuda was the one who sold Yosef. Now, Yosef's asking him a question. Ki ech, he's asking him. This is Yehuda's asking, Ki ech ele el avi, how will I go back to my father? Vahana einenu iti, and the child, Binyamin, is not with me. Pen ere bara, perhaps something bad will happen. Asher yimsa et avi, will happen to my father. Yehuda is now in a position, we told Yosef, that he's responsible for Binyamin. And not only he's responsible for Binyamin, also here, he's telling Yosef, what about my father? Now Yosef answers, V'lo yechol Yosef litapek. He couldn't hold himself. L'kol ha'nitzavim alav v'yikra. And he said, Hotziu kol ish me'alai. Send out everyone from in front of me. And no one was there when Yosef made himself known to his brothers. And now what does Yosef say? V'yomei Yosef el Echav. And Yosef says to his brothers, Ani Yosef. I am Yosef, who you sold. Ha'od Avichai. Is my father still alive? Why do you say Ha'od Avichai? Because you told me when you're saving Binyamin, what about my father? When you sold me, why didn't you think about my father? Ha'od Avichai, v'lo yachlu echav lanot oto. The brothers were so embarrassed they couldn't answer him. Ki nivhalu mipanav. They were like shattered. They were, didn't know what it says. Chazal. This is the tochacha of Atid Lavo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show you through your own actions that you didn't do, that you did later, that Yehuda did later. The steers in his life, the contradictions in a person's life. Yosef tried to make a situation. The whole reason Yosef set this up in this way, there was a tremendous chet in Klal Yisrael. The sinna of the achim, the hatred of the brothers. The hatred from Yosef to the brothers that caused the brothers to hate Yosef. That separation of the Shvatim was the siri, was the reason for the Golus. Was the reason we explained for the last Bate Midrash, Sinas Chinam, and even the first Beis Midrash was destroyed. There was sinna in the hierarchy, in the higher levels. It just was with Pashet to the Av in the second Beis HaMikdash. Even though Chazal say a different thing, but if you understand the Gemaras, the sin has started already in the, well, on the higher levels. So this whole effort was to put Yehuda into the same position that he was in Yosef. This is called Tshuva Gemura. The same place, the same time. He was... Yehuda was achrai on Binyamin, was in charge of Binyamin. Yehuda saying, he was willing to be machni himself, he was giving up this world and the world to come for Binyamin. He was going to put himself as an eved instead of Binyamin. And Yosef, and he says, what about my father? So Yosef says, now Yosef can appear himself and give him his tochacha, and give him his rebuke. And now the brothers are embarrassed and they realize their mistake. Because embarrassment is when you realize your mistake. It hits you in the face. How can you behave? How could they have behaved this way to Yosef? And here Yosef tries and fix that chet. And he succeeds. But not completely. And because it wasn't a complete success, that's why we have the Asara Haruge, the 10. Since it wasn't complete fixing, we still, that was the reason for the destruction of the first and the second place of Mikdash. It didn't succeed. It succeeded partially. Now we're seeing now, what does Yosef do afterwards? For Yomi Yosef Elechav, Geshu Na Elai. See this notion, Geshu? Vayigash Geshu Na Elai. What, Vayigashu, they came back. What does the loss of Gishuna mean? Rashi says, right? He showed them that he was Mahul. He showed them they had a Bris Mila. Why a Bris Mila? What's a Bris Mila about? First of all, he's showing them that he's like them. He didn't become a goy. He was like them. He still remained. But the Mokama Bris, the place of the Bris, is a place of Chibu. It's a place of connection. And Dafka to Yehuda, right? Yehuda, who represents the Malchus, the Nukva, who represents the feminine aspect of the Shechina, that's the place of connection. You understand? The Vayigash here is the connection of Yosef to his brothers. Not only there was a fixing of the separation, but Yosef had to now create that connection, recreate that connection of Yosef to his brothers. It's brought down in Svarim Kadoshim that all the dreams of Yosef that we saw beforehand, where the Alumim went bowed down, or the Shtemesrei Kochavim, the 12 stars bowed down, which represents the Shvatim. We explained that. Last week's parsha, we explained the dreams, right, and what they represent. Yosef, hu amizin leklal Yisrael, He's the one who's mashpia to Klal Yisrael. That's the concept of Yosef. Yosef is the Yesod, he's the Mokom HaBris. From the Mokom HaBris comes all the Shefa to Klal Yisrael, all the influence to Klal Yisrael. Influence can only come when there's Ishtachavaya, when there's bowing, when there's bending. That means you can only receive from someone who's above you. That's why when we make a bracha, we say Baruch. Baruch, the time we say Baruch, we're saying, you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, the source of all brachas. From you we're mekabel all the shefa, all the good. So bracha comes from the word berech, knee. Knee means when you bow. You can only receive something when you're machnia yourself. That was the dreams of Yosef. Actually, the same Shmuel explains this, that Yosef wanted to bring the brothers into a matzav, into a way in which they were machnia to Yosef. They bowed down. They saw him as higher than them. They saw them as malchus. That's what happened here. Yosef brought them to Abusha, to Achna. Abusha is Achna, a recognition of the wrong they did, and they were machnir themselves. But that wasn't sufficient. They also had to come close to Yosef. They had to receive him. That's what the Mila represents. The Mila represents the flow that sustains, the flow of giving life. That's what the Mila represents, the Mokum Mila. Yosef represents that flow to the brothers. That's why in this parasha it speaks about how Yosef is mezin, gives his brothers the sustenance. Right? Now I'm going to speak more about this word Goshen. Now, we have all of this. Then it says, Vayashafta be'eretz Goshen. He put them in Eretz Goshen. You understand? It says, Vayigash, Vayita karov elai, Vata, and you be close to me, Ubanecha, Ubnei banecha, Vetzonecha, Ubekarecha, Vekor ha'shelecha. You be close to me, says Vikilkalti otcha sham, and I will sustain you there. Ki od chameshanim ra'av, there'll be famine, another 5 years. Penti v'resh ata beitech v'kol ha'shelach. Perhaps, you know, you won't have. So it says, so Yosef is putting them in a place of Goshen where he's going to be the one sustaining them. Now, I told you, this parsha is like Vayigash, Vagashelav, Gushuna, all the Loshen Vayigash. That's a parsha. And the place they're going to be is Goshen. What does Goshen mean? Goshen means Gash Nun. Connecting to the Nun. Connecting to Nun Shaare Bina. Klal Yisrael, when they were in Mitzrayim, and Yosef understood this, they were in Tumas Mitzrayim, the sea of desires. I said, Besar Hamorim Besaram. Then the sea of Paro, who Mesirat Yesharim says, Paro represents the Yetzirah. Paro had dominion on the physical world. He himself made himself into Avodah Zarah. The brothers, Klal Yisrael, were going to live in Mitzrayim, Ervas Haaretz, the place of complete physicality. What chance do they have? So Yosef set it up that they would be in a place where there'd be Roi Tzon. I'm going to have to explain what Roi Tzon means and why by Mitzrayim, we're going to see soon, why by Mitzrayim Roi Tzon was an abomination. Why Dafka in Mitzrayim Roi Tzon was an abomination. What's the concept of Roi Tzon? That connection, so Yosef was setting up to be in Goshen, to be Mechuba, to connect to Shah Nun. Because in Mitzrayim, and that was happening to Klal Yisrael and Maisa. When Yosef died, we're going to see in Parashas Shemos, starts the Golas. The Golas starts with in the death of Yaakov, the spiritual Golas. We're going to see in Parashas Vayechi. But the actual Golas starts when Yosef dies. Yosef was the one who could sustain them and could give them this physical and spiritual sustenance, right? And so long as he was alive, Klal Yisrael weren't lost. When Yosef and Shvatim died, Klal Yisrael went into Golas. So the reason for setting them out into Goshen was to keep them away from the tomb of Mitzrayim. And we're going to see that Yehuda, what happens? He sends Yehuda, Yaakov sends Yehuda. We're skipping now, but we see in Pasuk, in Shishi, Pasuk Kavches, Et Yehuda shalach lifnanav el Yosef. Yaakov sent him in front of Yosef, lohorot. So Rashi says, to build a Talmud Torah, to build a yeshiva, to build a place of Torah, lifanav. Goshna, to Goshen. Viavo arza Goshen. A Yehuda who represents the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, that's the tafkid of Yehuda. The tafkid of Yehuda is to bring Torah to Klal Yisrael. That's the tafkid of a melech. The tafkid of a melech is to bring the Malchus, which is dinner de Malchus, a dinner. To bring the din, to bring the gilu of the Malchus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. The gilu of the Malchus is Torah. Man Malcha Rabbanon. What's Malchus? That's Rabbanon. That's the Talmidei Chachamim of the generation. They bring the Malchus of the Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world. That Malchus is the gilu of their Torah. Is the revelation of their Torah. Nun represents Bina. Nun Shari Bina. That's the concept of Kabbalah Satera. That's why the setting up was in Goshen, Gash Nun, connecting to the Nun, right? Nun could also represent the Chibu of the higher Nun to the lower He, right? That's Goshna. Yehuda is the lower He. When the Nun is Mechuba to the He is the Malchus, right? When the Nun is connected to the He is the Malchus, we have Goshna. So Yehuda was the Gili of that Nun in the physical world. That's the Gili of Torah. Therefore, Yehuda is the one who's Mo're Torah L'Klal Yisrael. He brings out the Malchus of Kodesh Baruch Hu, like I said before, which is the Malchus of Torah, which is the kingship of Torah, that's the Rabbanon, right? He brings it out to Klal Yisrael, because only can you survive in Golos with Torah. That's why I always tell boys, if you're going back to Chutz La'aretz, go to a place where there's a yeshiva, or there's a kollel. There's something, not just a Beit Knesset. Go be in a city or in a town where it's a Mokum Torah. If it's not a Mokum Torah, there's not going to be anything there. It's desolate. And you should see, there's these Lakewood Kollels. Everywhere these Lakewood Kollels were in America, I was in Chicago, and the person there told me there was nothing in Chicago. There were maybe a few shuls, but nothing really happening. The Lakewood Kollel came in, it changed the whole of Chicago. The whole of Chicago, like, they became an important frum place. Because that's the koach of Torah. Torah is mashpia, it's awe, it's light, it's mashpia, the whole of its surroundings. That's what Yosef wanted to save, Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. You can't save yourself in Manhattan. That's Eves Ha'aretz, it's Mitzrayim. You can't save yourself there unless you're mechuba to Torah. Unless you've got a West Side Kollel or you have a Chevrusa there, you're mechuba to Torah. Without being connected to Torah, you're lost. You're lost. Mitzvahs can't keep you. They can't keep you away from Golos. The only thing that can keep you away is the awe of Torah. And that's throughout the generations. When Klal Yisrael loses its Torah, just a question of time, when they lose their Nitma ben Agoyim, they become like the Goyim. Without Torah, we lose ourselves. And Yosef was very aware of that. And not only save Klal Yisrael, save you. You also in Golos. You also the Golos of your Neshama. Neshama isn't penetrating you. The thing that penetrates your Neshama more than anything else is Torah. Without Torah, you're going to be maybe a Frum Yid, but your children won't be. It won't sustain. Unless they go and learn Torah, right? It's not sustainable. And then you're playing Russian roulette with your children. Now, all of this is really a remez to what's written in the Haftarah. In the Haftarah, so if you look at the Haftarah, it says, Vata ben Adam, kach lecha eitzecha, take for you one eitz. Uktov alav liYehuda, and write on it, Yehuda ulivnei Yisrael chavero. Chaverov. Take, and all the Jewish people. V'lakach eitzecha, and take another eitz. Uktuv alav liYosef, Eitz Ephraim v'kol Beit Yisrael chaverav. Right? You put on another eitz. V'karev otam echad el echad. Lecha. Bring them together, one to the other. Le'eitz echad. And there'll be one eitz. V'ayu lachadim biyadech. And they will be together in your hand. This is representing the concept of Yosef and Yehuda coming together, i.e. Mashiach ben Yosef brings on Mashiach ben David, i.e. Yehuda, and they become one eighth.
that's Latid Lavo, there'll be a Gilui of Mashiach of Yehuda, the Mashiach ben David, that's Yehuda, who will come from Vayigash, the connecting of the eights of Yehuda to the eights of Yosef. I.e., Yosef brings the Gilui of Yehuda. Yosef is the reason to reveal Torah in Galus. You understand? Yosef is the Torah in Galus, and Yehuda's, the Malchus, is going to bring us to Goshna. The Nun Shari Bina is going to be brought out into the hay, into the expression of the world. And that's Matan Torah. That's what Matan Torah is. Matan Torah is the Nun Shari Bina is revealed into the lower world, is revealed into the Shechina, into the lower expression. That's what Torah means. You understand that? So since this is speaking about the Golus, obviously there's going to be here a representation of the Bat Mikdashim, right? And of the Mishkan. So it says, now comes Binyamin. Right? So first Yosef tells to Vigatim Lavi, go tell my father all the cover that I have in Israel. And what you saw, V'yipol al tzavarei Binyamin, and he fell on the neck of Binyamin Achiv, Vayevk, and he cried. U'Binyamin bacha al tzavarav, and Binyamin cried on his neck. What's a neck? A neck represents the connection between the head and the body. I.e., the neck always in Chazal represents that place of connection. The Beis Hamikdash, right, or Mishkan, is that place of connecting the physical world, which is the body, to the spiritual world, which is the head. That's the neck. So the crying on the neck represents the remez to the Bate Mikdashim, the destroying of the Bate Mikdashim, right? So it says, that's what Rashi says. He brings the Midrash. The word Yosef fell on the Tzavarei Binyamin, because the Beis Hamikdash was in the dominion of Binyamin. Vayevk, Ashnei Mikdashot, on the two Bate Mikdashot, Shatidim Liyot Bechelko Shul Binyamin Vosef Licharev. So here's a remez when he's crying on Binyamin. A remez, this two crying represents the crying of the two Bate Mikdashos. And then when Binyamin cries on his neck, it represents Mishkan Shiloh that came before the Beis Hamikdash, right? Which is in the Chelek of Yosef. Because always, I told you that, always Yosef, the concept of Yosef, comes before the concept of Yehuda. Really, the Beis Hamikdash was supposed to be in the dominion of Yehuda. Binyamin Zev Taraf, he like, grabbed it from Yehuda. But the Gilui of Yosef brings on the Gilui of Malchus, which is represented. Because the same Ha'ara, says the Ramban, which was on Har Sinai, i.e. the Torah, this Nun, right? Which is Megale in this lower world, the Hey, the Goshna, right? That's revealed, that's the Ha'ara, that's the Shechina, which is represented in the Bati Migdash and the Mishkan. That's the same Shechina. The same Shechina that was in Har Sinai went to the Mishkan, and the Mishkan then went to the Beis Hamikdash. So this cry, right? What was this crying about? What's Bechi mean? Bechi means Nevuchim Hayubar. It means confusion. It means non-clarity. That's what Bechi means. Dim'a, tears. Da'ma, what is this? Like the Mayim, Da'ma, what is this? It's confusion. You cry when you have confused emotions, but it's also a yearning. The crying here was a crying of what? The Binyamin was crying on his brother's shoulders, on his brother's neck, and he was crying on Binyamin's neck, or vice versa, right? There was a separation from Yosef and Binyamin. That separation, that distance that happened through the hatred of the brothers, and we know from previous Chazals that all Binyamin's brothers were called on the names of Yosef. Because Binyamin represents the Atara, the Mokom HaBris, on the Mokom HaBris. And the chibur between Yosef and Binyamin has to be a complete chibur. It's one eva, it's one connection, it's one thing. the separation of Binyamin and Yosef that was caused the Bechi. That meant that the Golas is going to be, there's not going to be a completion of that connection of Binyamin to Yosef. And in Mela, there's not going to be a proper Gilui of Yehuda. And because revelation of the Malchus, of God's Malchus in the world. And because of that, that was the chisaron of the two Bate Mikdashim, that they were destroyed. Because there wasn't a proper connection of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the Jewish people, which means the connection of Yosef to Binyamin. The next bit is, V'inashek l'kol echav v'yevka. They also cried, Alehem, on them. He cried on them, Yosef. Acharechen, divru echav ito. Then his brothers, he saw that he was mashlim with them, then they spoke. So you see, there was still a separation. And that separation between brothers and Yosef causes a bechi, that causes a distance of Klal Yisrael. There was still this distance between Yosef and his brothers. Now we have this whole parasha of Paro. Now Paro comes into the scene, he hears about it, he's happy, and he tells Yosef, put them, right, on my tzon. First of all, you hear that Roe Tzon's abomination to Mitzrayim, and then Paro says, put them on my tzon, put them on my flock. Like, make up your mind. You're saying that Roe Tzon's abomination, then Paro asks him to put him on his tzon. So it says, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, right? Mem Vav Lamed Gimel says, Vayaki Yikra Lechem Paro, when Paro calls you, Vama Maaseichim, Vama Altim, you tell him, Anshim Mikne Hayu Abadecha, we're cattle people. Minu Urenu, from our young age, Ad Atza, V'gam Anachnu, Gam Avoteinu, us, our fathers, Bavu, Tishvu, Beretz Goshen, and they put you in Eretz Goshen. Ki to'avad Mitzrayim kol ro'e tzon. It's a to'eva, it's an abomination, ro'e tzon. For Mitzrayim, that's a terrible thing. That you should be in charge of the animal. That you should be in control of the animal. You should be in control of the tzon. Now tzon means go, tse means go, nun. Tse to nun. You see, by Klal Yisrael, they were all ro'e tzon. What means to be ro'e tzon? Tzon represents the hanhaga of the lower worlds. The dominion of the lower worlds. That's what a Roi Tzon is. And that's an abomination to Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim, the whole concept of Mitzrayim, is not to be a Roi Tzon. The concept of Mitzrayim is to be a Chamor. Asher b'sach Chamorim b'saram. The flesh of them is the flesh of a donkey, i.e. to be, the physicality is all that there is. That's why these pyramids they built, in Mitzrayim they built pyramids, and they used to took all what the Egyptian king used to gather his whole life, all his gold, all everything that he had, he used to put in that pyramid. And the purpose of that was to live an eternal life of physicality. As far as Paro was concerned, all there was to enjoy was the physical world. Even the world to come is just an extension of the wealth you gathered in the physical world, and it just extends with you to eternity. So you have to fill the pyramid with all your wealth. That's the concept. That's the concept. So Roi Tzon, to be, have dominion over the physical, to be manhig, that's an abomination to Mitzrayim, because there's no such thing as to be controlled in the physical. The whole point of life is to be a chamor, is to be that donkey, is to be that physicality, to enjoy your life. Right? Chas v'shalom, that's called enjoyment. To fulfill your life with all physical pleasures. And the world to come is a world of external, of an eternal, external physical pleasures. That's how Paro saw life. So now, we see that Yaakov comes to meet Paro. So now, these are the two figures who represent Roi Tzon, Yaakov, and Paro represents the physical world for all its physicality. We know that Paro had complete dominion of the physical world. He knew Elohim, he knew God. He knew God as a dominion on the physical world. And Paro, we know from Chatum and Mitzrayim, right? The wizards, how you call them, of Mitzrayim, right? They had dominion on the physical world. Not a slave left Egypt, right? because of the kishuf of Mitzrayim. Kishuf is machishim palmalian shomara. They were against the dominion above. They saw the physical world as complete in of itself, having complete dominion. Right. So what's the shape of the pyramids? Asked the triangle. You see, the David HaMelech Malchus is two triangles, one like a pyramid and one the opposite side of the pyramid together. The Gemara in Erevin says a triangle represents a nekeva. And I explain to you, what does a nekeva mean? Feminine is represented in a triangle. Why? Because the Vlad comes in on the top and is expressed. The pyramid represents expression.
What's Vlad?
Child. So a pyramid represents expression from the high worlds to the low worlds. Or it can mean the opposite. That you take everything in your physical world and you bring it up to the higher worlds. Paro's understanding of the triangle was that you put into the... It's like an otsa. It's like a storehouse. You put store in all the physicality and that's what you're going to bring up into your spiritual worlds. Your physicality is going to be brought up to your spiritual worlds. Klal Yisrael is a different sort of triangle. Klal Yisrael is a triangle that goes up and down. The triangle that we have is the opposite triangle of the pyramid. The Klal Yisrael bring up from themselves a little point. I.e. what we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a small amount. We do Torah and Mitzvahs, Kiviyocha, we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koach, and that turns into this tremendous big Shefa from the little dot to like a line on the top of the pyramid, on the top of the triangle, that gets into, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it for him, it's a little dot. And then he gives us from a little dot a tremendous spiritual Shefa. That's what Malchus represents. Malchus is the place where Klal Yisrael connect to their Creator through doing Torah and Mitzvahs, i.e. Kiviyocha, we give Koach to our Creator, i.e. from the bottom of the triangle, from the bottom of the triangle to the top, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyocha gives us back from the top of the point to the lower, to expression. That's the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiviyocha, the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses back. So it's a two-way game, so to speak. We give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a small amount, and it gets expanded. And for Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's only a little dot. Because whatever we give is like nothing. What do the Kodesh Baruch Hu need? And then that Shefa comes back to us in a tremendous amount. It's called, in the Lashon of the Kabbalists, Man Umad. Maim Nukvim, right? The female aspect of giving Kiviyachol to Kodesh Baruch Hu, which brings Maim Dechurim, brings the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence into the world. It's a chibul of Klal Yisrael, connection of Klal Yisrael to Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what represents the Malchus. But part of the triangle represents this one way. You take everything in. What is the physical world is everything. It represents the line, is everything. And that goes up to the higher worlds. That you take up with you to the higher worlds. That's the opposite. But if you understand this concept, you'll understand also why that Chagah, who came from Paro, and the religion is the Arab religion, why it's also a physical religion. You can understand the what's called the Asians who came from also Chagah, what their religion represents. They change the triangle. They change the triangle. They then take the physical, you remove yourself from the physical, and you come to the spiritual. That was a fixing of the concept of Paro. That's what Avraham did. Avraham sent them Shemus Atumah, the names of Tumah. He did this in the Parsha. He gave them Shemus Atumah. He's telling them that the physical world for them is disconnection, and to separate themselves from the physical world of Paro and to connect to the higher world. That's Buddhists. That's Hindus and Buddhists. Hindus has a Vodazara, but the Buddhists took away the Vodazara. That's a tikkun of Bnei Keturah, the Asian world. Buddhism is good for the Asian world. Now, Vayavo Yosef et Yaakov Aviv. Now it's the two meetings of Paro and Yaakov. Vayamideu lifnei Paro. They put in front of Paro. Vayivarech Yaakov et Paro. Yaakov gives a blessing to Paro. What? A blessing of physical sustenance. The Nile comes up to Paro. The Nile is what sustains the whole of Mitzrayim. Now, the Nile comes up to Paro, no more famine in Egypt. Vayomer Paro el Yaakov, Kama Yemei Shnei Chayecha. Remember, this is not a stump question. How much are the days of your life? What sort of question is that? How much are the days of your life? I mean, how old are you, he's asking him? What's he asking him? How much are the days of your life? Pasuk Ches, Mem Zayin Ches. If you go to the shop and say, how much is this? Right? You're asking its worth. Kama is the worth. How much is worth your days of your life? What's the worth of your days of your life? I.e., what's worthy in your life? Paro knows what's worthy. Paro's an easy question. Smoothies. Planet smoothie. Right? That's what's worthy. Let's see. Vayome Yaakov el Paro. Yaakov says to Paro, Yemei shnei migurai. The first thing he answers is, this is not my life. This is migurai. This is my temporary dwelling. This world, I'm temporary dwelling in it. There's a story. Ben Gurion came to the Chazon Ish. Right? It's a famous story. And he walked into his house. He sees a bench or a bed, a table. That's about what it is. Not much. And he says, you're the head of the whole Jewish people. You know, you're mezalzel in the Chazon Ish. And you only have a table and a chair. You know, like a bed and a table. That's all you have. He says, you know, that's not mechubed. That's not a king. You represent the kingship of Paris, and that's what you have. Yeah, like, you know, a good Rebbe's chair, you know, like a big chair, a big, you know, a big table, like, you know, Malchus. So the Chazon Ish asked him, you're the president of the whole, of this whole Medina, right? Where's your chair? And your, you know, where's your, you know, your lustrous chair, etc., furniture? So Ben Gurion said, I'm only visiting. So am I. That's what Yaakov answers. Yemei shnei migurai. I'm only visiting. That's all. First of all, I'm only visiting. This isn't my life. This is visiting. Now he answers. Shloshim u'me'at shana. 130 years. Now he answers. Ma'at v'rayim hayu. There was short amount of time. 130 years is pretty long for me. But it's short and bad. Yemei shnei chayai. The days of my life. What's he telling Paro? That's how you're supposed to. If someone asks a rabbi, tell me, rabbi, what was your day? Oh, it was a great day. I learned so much Torah. I taught so much Torah. I did so many mitzvahs. There's what to talk about. What's Yaakov even telling you? Say it's few and bad. What's Paro's hashkafa? Paro's hashkafa, Paro's outlook is all the desires, all which can benefit, all the money, all the physicality, I want to take with me. I don't want to lose this physical world. I'm going to embound myself in all my physical goof, and I'm going to enjoy the physicality that I enjoyed in this world for eternity. Says Yaakov, you're crazy. This world is short amount of time and it's bad. Delving in the physical world is ma'at v'rayim. Yesh lo mana, you have 100, you want 200. You got one desire, it's not sufficient. You got fed up of the fudge ice cream after 3 scoops. You want a different flavor. How many flavors are there? Not many. It's ma'at v'rayim in comparison to spirituality. That's what he's telling Paro. And now he says, v'lo hisigu, and they didn't reach et yemei shnei chayai avotai v'mei migurem. Didn't reach the lives of my fathers in their dwellings. In other words, how? What are we looking to reach? We're looking to reach the days of our fathers. What's the days of our fathers? We have Yeridus Adoris. We want to reach and be like our ancestors.
We're going to be like our fathers. What do we mean be like our fathers? The others. The others. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. We want to be like our fathers. We want to hasaga. Hesig is hasaga. We want to have the hasaga of our fathers. We want to have the reach the levels, the spiritual levels. That's the only reason we live for. That's what we take with us. We don't take our bodies and our gold and our silver like with Paro. That's what Yaakov Avinu told him. That was the bracha. V'yavarech Yaakov et Paro v'yotzeh v'nei Paro. And then he went out from Paro. He gave him a physical bracha. That's what Paro wanted. The Nidus came up to him. He sustained Mitzrayim. And then he made himself into Avodah Zarah. And it needs to be understood why Yaakov Avinu gave this bracha to Paro. And there was no longer famine. Because Yaakov Avinu basically showed him that when you have spirituality, you're the source of all the physical bracha. No more famine. Yaakov Avinu walked into Egypt. Physicality is an offshoot of spirituality. When you're connected to the spiritual world, especially Yaakov, who represents Tiferes, beauty, he's the connection of the physical to the spiritual, that's Yisrael. There's no chisaron, there's no lax. The physical is an expression of the spiritual. But you, Paro, all you want is physical? It's ma'at v'ra'im. It's short. Your life, whatever it is, it's short. You know, once I was in a Sheva Brachas, and one of the people said in the Sheva Brachas, he said it over, what, you know, Rav Scheinberg lived till, I think he was 101. So like, just before he was lifted, they asked him, Rabbi, you know, you're 100, tell us something about life. So he told them, life is short. 100-year-old man can say life is short. Yaakov Avinu says, ma'at, life is short. Fill it with Torah and with gemilut chasadim. Fill it with Torah and doing good for others. That's what Yaakov Avinu said. If you look at the physical world, it's ma'at v'rayim. It's not worth it. What? You can take your BMW with you in the game, you know, like, someone would be buried with his BMW, you know, a big game. You know, someone, now they make blocks of flats here, you slime, you have blocks of flats, you know, who's your neighbors? Right? Wait, what are you going to take with you? What are you going to take with you? You can put gold in there? You can get a gold iron? What are you going to do, you know? What are you going to do with it? That's ma'at v'rayim. You're spending your whole, this short period of life for something you can't take with you. It's a joke, these pyramids. You're building a pyramid? It's a joke. Well, you need $1 billion? What do you need $1 billion for? You can't even spend that amount of money in a lifetime. What do you need it for? If it's not for Torah and Chesed. If you take those $1 billion and you use it for Torah and Chesed, you use it to help Klal Yisrael, you use it to bring out God's name into the world, oh, that's money that you're going to get. That's money that's worth it. You're going to put in a BMW? Get a regular Ford. And the extra money gets a tzedakah. What is enough giving a white BMW or a regular white Ford? No one's going to notice the difference. It's a waste of money. You with me? That's what we take with us. That's what Yaakov is telling them. Fill your life with Torah and Chesed. That's what life's about. Then life isn't ma'at b'ray. Then life isn't bad. Life is good. And then you ask, if you reach the level of your forefathers, if you reach the level, matay yegiu ma'asai, when will reach my actions to ma'asai avotai, to the actions of the others? When will I become merkava l'shchina? That's what life's about. That's what you told Paro. You understand? Now I'm just going to go back to, like, even though Roei Tzon, we say, is an abomination to Mitzrayim, right? Explain what Roei Tzon represents, yeah? Pasuk says, Eretz Yitzrayim lefanecha, the land of Egypt is in front of you. He b'meitev ha'aretz hushav.
Hushav et avicha v'tachicha yishvu be'eretz Goshen. Your father and your brothers will be in Eretz Goshen. V'imyadata v'yesh b'hem anshei chayif. You know you have people of war. V'samtem sari mikne al asheli. Put them, sari, in charge of my mikne, in charge of my cattle. Right? Now, what does Paro call his cattle? He calls his cattle mikne. Right? His kinyonim. A kin, his what he owns. What do we call our mikne? We call it tson. The purpose of our mikne is say nun, to leave the nun of the physical world and to reach the higher worlds. I.e., to be manhig the tson, to manhig the cattle, to be on top of the physical world, to be on top of our physicality, to be in control. What does Paro call it? Mikne. You know you're in Kiddushin, right? You're Kone and Isha. What do you mean Kone? Kone is always something you connect with. Paro doesn't want it to be Ro'e Tzon, to be Manhig the Tzon, to be in control of your physicality. He wants you to be connected with your Tzon. He wants you to be one with your Tzon. That's the difference. Do you come to this world for... You know they have a festival nowadays. It's called the Festival of Buying. All the sales are on. All the things to buy. What you can buy. Last 2 days, you're going to get it before the Chag. So you can buy a present for this one. And you get presents and stuff like that. It's a feast of buying. You're connecting to the physical. That's what buying means. You're lacking all these things that you need. All these stupid presents that you don't really need. You have to go and buy. Right? That's how you complete yourself. That's the mikne of Paro. That's the connection. Paro connects to his flock. Paro connects to the physical. Klal Yisrael are Roe Tzon. Roe Tzon is someone who's manhig the Tzon. He's on top of the Tzon. He's in control of them. We're in control of our physical world. Because we bring that physical to go tse, to go out from the nun, the lower nun, to connect to the higher nun. Okay? That's what Tzon represents.